Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, and with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome to the Whitetail Legacy Podcast. Another week, another episode. Still congested, still have a slight cough, not as bad as last week, but just still getting over the pneumonia. The shit in my lungs is finally starting to break up, but it's another week, and it's another difficult conversation. This one's going to be kind of unique. I don't think a lot of people have thought about it. I've had some very good conversations this week in the Patreon group about this podcast and some other stuff. Some good insight from those guys to kind of get me thinking as well. It's always good to get a different perspective on a topic. I did crank the volume on the episode of having some people say that it's been quiet. So hopefully it's a little bit louder for you guys. Trying to bring the best I can with this new soundboard equipment, still trying to figure it out. But before we get in the show, let's get the people that make this possible. And you know that is Exodus Outdoor Gear. If you guys listened to my last episode, you guys know that the code that I use, the code that you can use, WL, that'll save you 10% at checkout on anything on their whole entire website. I know you guys are getting your tax return. If you're looking to get some cell cams, if you're looking to get some arrows, buy some quality shit that has a warranty that's going to last you 5 years. You know that. Their new cell cams, the new Rival they just came out with, is pretty damn reasonably priced for a five-year warranty cam. The app that they got coming out is kick-ass. It's really going to be the camera to use, the system to use this coming year. It's going to link with OnX. It's going to work out very, very efficiently, very, very well. You're going to be able to track a lot of things on there. It's going to be very cool. And the data is less expensive. They're going to offer unlimited data. You buy one data plan for all your cameras instead of individual, like you have 500 pictures on this one, 1,000 on this one. You just buy megabytes, and whatever you use is what you pay for, which is awesome as well. Excuse me. So if you guys are in the market for some cell cams, like I said, if you use that code WL, it helps me out tremendously. Capital W, capital L. It also saves you guys money at checkout. If you buy 3-4 cameras, it's saving you a shitload of money. You're going to be able to... you buy 4 cameras, you use the code, you're going to be almost be able to get a 5th one for free. So you can't beat that, to be honest with you. So if you're looking for anything like that, make sure and use that code. Next, we got Rec Broadheads. Rec just released a YouTube video on their Instagram page. There's a link. Found 50 sheds out in Iowa. Crazy. But this year, you're going to be able to save 17.5% with WLP 2024, all caps. That's some big time savings. And if you're not looking to buy right now, you want to buy in the future, there is going to be a month where you're going to be able to get it custom engraved with WLP on the side. If you guys would like to shoot some WLP heads, that'd be pretty cool. Definitely going to be doing a pretty sweet giveaway for anybody that does shoot WLP heads and sends me a picture of their kill. It's going to be pretty cool to be able to associate that. But last but not least, if you guys are looking to get anything in check, your mental, your fitness, just need someone to chat to, I'm always here to reach out. And I'm still giving away that $115 gift card to First Form this month. If you guys do use my code, if you reach out, I'll send the code directly. If not, it is in my bio, or these codes are all in my bio on Instagram. You can email me, message me, Facebook message me, whatever you want to do. I'm here to chat whether you buy anything or not. I want to see you do better. My last episode, you guys know that I want to be a hunting podcast, but the value, the money for running this show isn't really there anymore like it has been in the past. It's all if you guys buy the product that I talk about, and then I get a little kickback. And it's coming harder and harder to run a show and make any money at all, to be honest with you. So this year, my goal is to motivate people, impact people the best I can. Instead of just talk about hunting, I also want to get you motivated about life, man. I want you going on the right path, getting your fitness in check, your mental health in check, living long for your family and your kids, and showing those kids what it's like to do the right thing and be healthy and be mobile, and show them the path so they don't get off the path like all of us do at one point in time. So that wraps that up. Like I said, I am doing that $115 gift card that I am purchasing myself that I will be giving away if you do use the code. Now, let's get into today's topic. Now, I was driving out west on the coyote hunt with my buddy Garrett, and we were kind of talking about youth hunting and kind of the way we see it. I have kids. He doesn't at this time. He had a really cool perspective that I never thought about, and that's crossbows for youth. Now, before we get in deep with this, if you're a grown-ass man and you use a crossbow, I do not care. That's not what we're talking about here. If you want to use a crossbow, you're a 35-year-old man, whatever. You do you. You are a grown adult. You make that decision yourself. I don't really care. Does it have an impact? You can go back to the trad bow, traditional bows, talking about how the compounds were so technological advanced and it's having a huge impact. Vertical bow numbers are going down for archer kills. There's more crossbow kills than there are vertical bow kills. But there is also more compound kills than there are trad bow kills. So that topic, I mean, it is what it is. A little bit easier to use. Yes, there's still skill involved. I'm not getting into that. What I'm getting into is youth and crossbows. The perspective is, we're going to kind of break it down, but the perspective to look at is not the use of a crossbow as it's a bad thing because it's easier to kill deer or whatever. That's not what we're looking at. We're looking at the ability for youth to ever use a vertical bow. So, like for me, my boy Rainer, he's 8 years old. Got him using a crossbow. He shot a little high on a doe this year and missed it. Hit it high, didn't recover the deer, hit it right there, below the spine, and we watched the deer for 55 minutes. It was actually feeding in a cornfield by the end of the time after we watched it clean pass through. And, he was pretty discouraged, but first shot ever on an animal or, he's killed squirrels and birds and stuff like that, but on an actual deer. And, it was with a crossbow, with a scope. Individual yardage. And the main topic to think about as we kind of break this down is when you introduce a kid to a crossbow, should there be an age limit that maybe the state sets or you set as a dad or an uncle or a person that you're taking a kid hunting? Should you set an age limit or maybe like a kill limit? There's another thing that you could think of. You know, maybe you set like a 5-kill limit and then they need to switch to a vertical bow. Because in my mind, if a kid switches from a crossbow to a compound or a vertical bow is what I'm going to call it in this episode, and he has a bad, that first year, he has a bad, you know, a challenging year like we all do with vertical bows. Like when you first got your compound bow, you probably missed deer. You probably wounded deer. Like you were learning how to shoot the bow and trying to hunt and trying to learn how to shoot the bow at an animal, which is completely different than shooting the bow. So you probably missed. Maybe you wounded a deer. Maybe you put a bad shot and found a deer. But if they have a bad, that first year, you know, if they have a bad, where they're like, man, this is way more challenging. You know, I've got target panic. I don't have a scope. I'm trying to hold a pin steady. Will they ever stay with the vertical bow or will they just go back to the crossbow for the ease of use? So that's the main thing to think about as we break this down. I'm not talking about grown men shooting crossbows. You can have your opinion on that. It is what it is. It's legal, whatever. I'm talking about the impact that crossbows have on youth if there isn't kind of a set standard by maybe the state or by the person that's taking the kid hunting. So let's do the age limit. Well, let's just break that down for an example. So, you know, say a kid gets started, you know, at 8 hunting. They more than likely probably can't pull enough poundage back with a vertical bow to probably between 12 and 14 is what I'm thinking. So let's say you start the kid with a compound or with a crossbow, gets a couple kills on his belt. Now he's going to a vertical bow at 14 or 12 or wherever that kid's comfortable with, you know, switching to a bow. It's going to be a completely new learning curve compared to the crossbow. He has to hold the bow back. He has to know how to, you know, squeeze a release, find the kisser button, find a good rest, hold his hand correctly. He's relearning everything, which could be frustrating, could be challenging. But in my mind, like you think of baseball, right? Like almost every kid, you know, whether they're like big into sports later or not, boy or girl, they play T-ball. You know, they start off on a tee, a couple years, 3-4 years, then they go to coach pitch, but eventually they got to play real baseball. You know, so in my mind, if your kid wants to shoot a crossbow, that's like the hard line because you want your kid to enjoy hunting. You want them to have a good experience, but you also want them to embrace the challenge of hunting because that's what it is. And you don't want them to continue to use a crossbow forever. You want them to get to that vertical bow level. But, you know, if you took a kid who was 12 and kept him in coach pitch and he could crank it to the, you know, fence every time, like it would be really hard for him to move up to that, you know, kid pitch. It would be hard for him to move that up because he's used to doing so well. And now there's this big learning curve where not every ball is coming in real slow, underhand, you know, perfect in the strike zone kind of deal. You know, kid's pitching it and he's probably throwing 90% balls, you know, and you kind of learn what a ball and a strike is. And it's just a kind of a jumbled mess that first year from going from, coach pitch to kid's pitch. And I feel like that's going to be the transition from crossbow to vertical bow. And if the kid just has the option to stick with the crossbow and not try the vertical bow, I don't think he will ever change. I think he will go into adulthood using a crossbow. And I could see like the minority of hunters during archery season being a regular compound bow. Over time, because there's going to be so many people using crossbows in general, like I said, grown men using crossbows, but also kids that never even went to a vertical bow. like never even tried it. You know, so you got to decide like where, what is a good age? And of course, like then you got the topic of like girls that want to hunt. You know, you got a daughter, you want her to enjoy hunting, you want her to do a good job. And more than likely, she's not going to be able to pull the poundage at 12, 13, 14 that a boy's going to be able to pull. So it's even going to be a stipulation for girls and boys. That's why I think like a state to write a law would be too complicated. It's going to come down to like the individual that's either teaching the kid to hunt or raising the kid to kind of set a standard of when they're going to have to go to a vertical bow. And that's something that you kind of have to figure out yourself. But right now, it's probably something that you're not even thinking about it because it's not something I was thinking about it until I had this conversation with Garrett. Another thing is like, should kids just be able to gun hunt? Like at a certain age. So archery season is off. You got that early, you know, early youth season. The weather's normally nice. It's in October. Pretty easy to get on deer. You know, should he only be able to gun hunt and not utilize that crossbow? Because then you never enable him to see what a crossbow is like, to get those kills with a crossbow, to see how easy it is compared to a vertical bow. Not saying there's not skill with the crossbow, but just the ease of making the shot. I think everybody can agree, whether you use a crossbow or a regular compound bow, that a crossbow is much easier to shoot and learn how to shoot effectively. And we're going to get into the range topic later. But, you know, you get to the point where should you only allow them to gun hunt? So you got youth gun season, you got, you know, shotgun season, maybe rifle season if it's in your state, and then you got muzzleloader season until they can pull back a vertical bow. Is that an option that you should do? You shouldn't even allow your kid to pick up the crossbow. And like I said, this is going to be subject to how you want to raise your kids. If you don't care that your kid never embraces the challenge of a vertical bow, maybe you've never embraced the challenge of a vertical bow. And it's something that you've never done. So if you've never done it, how can you expect your kid to do it? Is kind of what I think. A lot of those dads out there that expect their kids to just go crazy ass hard at sports, but they never see their dad go crazy ass hard at like working out or, you know, doing anything at home. It's just kind of chilling, but they expect their kids to go above and beyond and beat out all these other kids when all they've seen you do is kind of just chill. So if it's something that you've never done, like, I get it. Like, it's why not let them use a crossbow? Because that's what you do. They see you do it. That's how you hunt. That's how you have hunted. So that's how your kid hunts. But like I said, it's going to be an individual, you know, decision for each parent or person that's teaching the kid to hunt to decide kind of how he wants to lay it out and do the thing. Another thing that I wanted to cover, like I said, is the gun seasons. Like, is that enough time for a kid to be successful? I believe it is. Would a kid enjoy that as much as crossbow hunting? I know that my 8-year-old, after hunting last year, was probably not ready, not as prepared as I thought he was when the actual moment happened. He was very shooken up, very stirred up, not super confident. I told him, I said, if you're not confident, you don't have to shoot. And I said, you know, put the pin on her, second one down, second crosshair down, right behind the shoulder, pull the trigger. Like I said, he shot high. And was that experience detrimental to his enjoying hunting for the future years? Because now he's so worried about messing up in that moment because he knew that he's messed up before. When if I would have just let him gun hunt, maybe, you know, he would be more comfortable behind a gun. The deer's a little further. You can get away with a little bit poorer shot. Like if we would have had the muzzleloader out there and he'd have hit that deer where he hit it with a crossbow, more than likely he would have put that deer down because it would have impacted the spine so hard, at least to be able to get a second shot in it compared to you know, the archery where you kind of got to get a really good shot or you're going to have a bad experience. So is that something that you consider where you just go, okay, you know, I'm going to go all out. I'm going to do the bow hunting myself. I'm going to focus on youth season incredibly hard and shotgun and muzzleloader season for my kids. You know, that's going to be their time to hunt, their time to do it. Gun or a little bit more mobile. You can get in a good rest. The deer isn't really close. You can do it out of a blind, do it over a food plot. I mean, you have a little bit more time most of the time with a gun than you do with an archery shot. You can even do it, I mean, crossbow hunting out of a stand for a kid is pretty much impossible to do at that age. So you got to be on the ground. It can't really hold the weight of the crossbow. It's kind of bulky and big. So you have to have some kind of a tripod, bog pod set up for them even to enjoy the sport, you know, enjoy the crossbow hunt. So is just gun hunting something that you allow to do? And this is kind of me just brainstorming as well, because I'm trying to figure out what I want to do with my kids. Like, do I allow them to keep crossbow hunting and set a limit of like, okay, when you're 12, it's time to go. This is something you have to decide. Now, getting into like the other version of it. Now, maybe there's a kill. Maybe you set a kill limit. Like, okay, you shot a couple bows or does, you shot a couple bucks. It's time to switch to the vertical bow. And if you tell your kids that like this is kind of the way that it's done at that age, they're going to just agree with you because they're learning everything from you. If you're like, all right, you got a couple kills with the crossbow, man, it's time. You have to switch to the vertical bow. You know, this is what you do to keep going. You know, and maybe, you know, they struggle with the vertical bow. They don't have a good year. It will teach them more about hunting. They enjoy the sport more. It'll be more of a challenge. Or do we revert back towards the end of the year and let them use the crossbow because they tried the vertical bow for a while and didn't have success? Like, that's something you got to decide too. Like, you want the challenge is you want them to have a good time hunting because you want to be able to enjoy the sport for them with them for years and years and years to come. But you also want them to embrace the challenge of the sport and not just the kill aspect and not just like the easiness of it. Like, you want it to be kind of hard because you know there's going to be years when you're not hunting with them and it is going to be very challenging. You've had those years where you get your ass kicked. I have them every year where you just like, you're like, man, I know what I'm doing. I just having bad luck and I can't get on these deer. So maybe you set a kill limit and, you know, say, okay, 5 kills, you're done, vertical bow, and you allow them to keep gun hunting. You give them the choice, be like, all right, you know, if you don't want to use a vertical bow, we can switch. You can just gun hunt. Or like I said, maybe we just let them gun hunt. Like, it's a hard decision, but it's something that you need to think about because you're going to impact that kid in a way that, like, they're, like I said, the minority might be vertical bow users. And everybody might use crossbows. Because if you talk to anybody that youth hunts, most of the time they use a crossbow. Because it's easier. It's more effective for them. It's easier. They have a scope. But let's get into kind of some topics that might get a little edgy on crossbow, vertical bow. But let's just start off with, like, the cost difference. So I know that there's crossbows that are thousands of dollars, but there's literally crossbows that are $200 that kill deer that are shooting lightning fast. I bought a kill shot, great little bow, literally got it out of the package. Scope was on it, pulled up at 30 yards, hit a 10 ring, like just right out of the front.
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com. Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
First shot ever with it. Could I get a bow out? First shot ever in a tit ring? Hell no. Like, you're going to have to fill the bow out. You're going to have to get the sight in. You're going to have to, I'm going to have to adjust the grip. You're going to have to set the draw length. Like, there's just so many steps to a vertical bow that's not there with a crossbow. Like, pull it up, look through the scope, and shoot. It literally was dead on out of the box with the arrows that it came with. It just, like, mind-blowing to me how well it shot, right, first shot, like, right off the bat. But, so you have the cost difference. Like I said, man, most vertical bows are, like, $1,000, bare bow, like, right off the bat. So, I mean, say you're just getting into hunting, you don't know anybody that has a used bow, anything like that. You want your kid to have something nice. Like, you're going to spend $500, $600, $700 on a setup for a kid to shoot a vertical bow. Like, by the time you buy the bow, the sight, you're going to have to get it adjusted. They're going to have to get a release. You're going to have to get a stabilizer and an arrow quiver and, you know, this and that. And, I mean, it's just going to be like, okay, are you going to shoot a 4-pin or a 1-pin? Or, I mean, there's a lot to it. You know, and most kids are not going to use a roller, I would assume. They're going to want like a 4-pin. Probably not going to shoot past 30 yards, which we'll get into effective range later. But like, if you get a crossbow, you can literally spend $175 and just literally let them rip. And the bow's on, get them a bog pod for $90. You got $250, $270 wrapped up in this deal. Get them some broadheads and let them hunt. Like, you could let them use an older used bow, you know, and probably get it for $200-$300. But how much are you limiting them from, like, how well the bow shoots, their effective range with the bow, how comfortable they feel with the bow, what the poundage will go to? Like, can you even adjust the draw length to fit them because it's an older bow? Or are you going to have to buy cams and switch that out? Like, there's a lot more to it than what a crossbow is. You know, it's like a gun. Literally put your cheek down on the stock and look through the scope and send it. So you have the cost difference to think about, which I could see a lot of dads, you know, it's getting harder and harder to just live, to buy groceries, pay your freaking car insurance, your life insurance, your freaking house payment, your taxes. You know, it's just like every year it gets a little harder to just get by with what you're working. You have to work overtime or whatever. So getting into this kind of a purchase is kind of a big deal. You know, $300-$400 extra per purchase for some people is a gigantic deal. Maybe something they can only do at tax time or something they could have to save up for. I mean, it could be a big deal. Another thing that I want to talk about is scopes. Now, there's people, which I just blown away at ATA show, well-known people in the outdoor industry repping this low light, pretty much dark crossbow scope where they're literally shooting it in a black room and they can see where they're shooting and making good shots. We're not even talking people using thermal scopes on crossbows, which they are, but just scopes in general. So on a vertical bow, you're not allowed to use any magnification scope, anything like that, to make it easier to shoot the deer. So, you know, a crossbow has a scope on it. A 50-yard deer, probably looking like a 30-yard deer. A 50-yard deer, when you draw a bow on it and you're trying to get that pin in the exact spot, it's pretty damn small, dude. Like, it's a small spot that you're trying to hit on that deer. and make sure you get right in the money. Now, a crossbow is kind of, the crosshair is smaller. It's not a pin. It's easier to hold on the spot. And you're zoomed in, which is legal to do, not including the night vision scopes, that which I'm calling them, but they're not calling them that, low light scopes, and the thermal scopes that you're allowed to use. So a kid's going to get used to deer being more, you know, bigger, easier to see in the scope. They're going to get used to a crosshair instead of a pin. Like I said, so the learning curve is just so much different, and you're not even allowed to use anything with magnification on a vertical bow for most states. Like, it's illegal to use a magnifying lens to make the deer bigger on your pins. So it's like, what do you do there? Like, do you teach him how to use a scope and then try to get him to use a pin bow, or do you just introduce him to a pin bow now and get him shooting in the yard so when he actually gets the effective range, like, you know, you can go from there. Another thing is effective range. Now, some of these more expensive crossbows, they're 100 yards out the box, ready to kill, ready to rip. What is the effective range that you let a kid kill a deer, turkey, anything like that? Like, because a vertical bow, be realistic, if you're listening to this podcast, 50 yards vertical bow, like whitetail hunter in the woods, probably one of your furthest shots ever. If not, you've maybe not even made that shot. Maybe you've went a little bit further, but not much, to be honest with you. Are you going to let your kid shoot 100 yards with a crossbow? So how is he ever going to want to lose that effective range of killing during archery season if he's used to being able to kill 80, 90, 100 yards? Like, I limited my kid to 30 yards. Deer's got to be 35 and in to utilize that 30-yard pin. So it's like, where do you draw the line on that? Not only to be like crossbow, vertical bow hunter, but just to teach the kid kind of an ethical way to hunt during archery season. Do you let him take a 100-yard shot? Is that okay? Is he effective at 100 yards? Like, is he going to be effective shooting an animal at 100 yards? Because you know a vertical bow, like, you're not shooting 100 yards at an animal. I mean, maybe you're super experienced, you're out west. I think a lot of people shoot that far, but in a realistic hunting situation, you're not shooting that. I'm never shooting that. Like, there's no way. I would have to shoot years and years and years to feel comfortable. I'd have to tune my bow different. But literally, like, these crossbows are out the box, scope sighted in at 100 yards. Like, it's just mind-blowing what they can do. And, you know, maybe you have a crossbow you spend a bunch of money on, and that's what you plan on letting your kid use. And, hell, you've killed deer at 120 yards with it, 100 yards with it. Like, where do you draw the line if your kid's in the yard just slamming at 100 yards? Like, do you let that kid shoot a deer during archery season at 100 yards? If it's something that you do, like, cool, you know, great. But that goes back to the aspect of the challenge of the hunt. Vertical bow, there's the yardage challenge. Like, during archery season, if I could have shot 75 yards, the amount of deer that would have killed or had the opportunity to kill is just astronomically more than what I have killed. Because there's that buffer zone where they're like 55 in the brush or 60 or 70. You're like, man, I just need 20 yards, you know. And if you got a crossbow that shoots 100, you're like, 65, we're ready to rip. We're ready to send it. Like, there's that aspect of where are you going to draw the line of, is this ethical for my kid to do? And does it promote the use of a vertical bow later when more than likely his effective range with a vertical bow at a young age, maybe 30 yards. Like, maybe. That's going to be pushing it in my mind. I'm thinking 20, 25 and in vertical bow effective range. So if that kid's shooting deer at 80 and then now you're like, all right, it's time to go to vertical bow. Like, okay, now I can only kill him at 20. Like, is that kid going to have a good time hunting because he's used to being able to swack deer at 80 yards, 100 yards? Or is he just going to be like, all right, I'm only hunting if I can use a crossbow? And then, like I said, then the minority is crossbow, or the minority is regular compound bows, instead of crossbows. Because there is no undeniable, you cannot argue with me about the ease of use compared to a crossbow. I'm not talking about the skill of killing a deer. I'm just talking about shooting the damn thing. I don't want to get into the stipulation. Like I said, if you're a grown man that uses a crossbow, more power to you, whatever. But just the ease of use of shooting it compared to a regular compound bow. Completely different planets. Like, the learning curve is days with a crossbow, months with a vertical bow. Maybe years with a vertical bow. Like, they're going to have to train their stability muscles in a stand. They're going to have to learn how to draw and aim down and over. Like, there's so much to it that you not have to do with, it's already drawn and you put the scope on them and you pull the trigger. It's just a different style of hunting across the board. But like I said, when the compound bow came out, it was like, oh, we're going to kill the deer herd and blah, 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 blah. And that didn't happen. So is crossbow hunting going to kill the deer herd? No. I'm talking about the ease of use. It's undeniably there. If you think it's not there, you have a complex about it because you think people hate you because you're a crossbow hunter. But in actuality, I don't do that. I'm not hating on you at all. I'm just saying the ease of use is there, just straight up. So, you know, to wrap it up, like, what do? Do you let your kid get to a certain age? Do you let your kid get to a certain kill count? Do you let your kid go to it as he wants to? Do you let your kid only gun hunt and not archery hunt? A lot of different choices out there. Like I said, it's going to be an individual basis of what you should do. But, you know, my whole thing is leave legacy, and I'm always talking about the kids, and this is literally something I've never heard anybody talk about ever. Like, never on any podcast, any topic, any Facebook post, nothing ever even brought this up of, like, are we ruining vertical bow hunting by introducing our kids to crossbows at a young age and then never having them switch? Like, maybe you love hunting, you love compound bow hunting, it's your jam. Maybe you're a trad bow hunter and that's your jam. You like getting them close. That's like, but you introduce your kid to this crossbow that has a scope, has all these advantages, has a further effective range. Is he going to go to the vertical bow? Is he ever going to want to go to that? Or is that something that you're going to have to, like, almost force him to do? But then you get into the stipulation of, like, is he going to enjoy it? So it's kind of like a conversation you got to have with your kid too. Like, you kind of got to feel him out and see what he's thinking. But it's definitely, like I said, this is a difficult conversation that might take some people off, but it's definitely something that needs to be talked about, at least thought about. Like, do you need to talk to your 7-year-old about, like, do you think you're ever going to go? No, you don't. But, like, you need to think about it. Because, like, are you going to be discouraged if he never gets to the challenge of compound bow hunting? Or are you going to be okay with him just crossbow hunting and gun hunting? Like, that's what you got to think. Like, some people might not even care. Me, doing, like, how much I love, you know, the art of hunting with a bow, like, I want to see my kids enjoy that and understand, like, the sense of accomplishment of killing a target buck with a bow. Like, it's just, even, like, I've killed the biggest buck with a gun, and yeah, it was great, but a bow kill means more because it's harder, dude. It's freaking harder. Like, it's just straight up, that's all I can say. It's just harder than a gun. Like, just straight up, and I love gun hunting. Nothing against it. I'll break the gun out every chance I get when it's legal time to do it, so I get that advantage to get the kill. But will my son ever enjoy the challenge of compound bow hunting? That's something I can't answer right now because I introduced him to a crossbow, and he had a bad experience, and now he's not really, like, excited to hunt like he was before. He turned it down a couple times last year. You know, I think he's afraid to fail again. And, you know, maybe if I wouldn't introduce it to him, or maybe I'd have waited later, we wouldn't be in this situation. But it's something we got to work through to get him into that moment. And it's something I needed to talk to him. Be like, hey, do you just want a gun hunt? Do you want a crossbow hunt? Like, are you comfortable? Is this a conversation you need to have? And especially for me, since he had a bad experience, it's a conversation that I must have to make sure that he enjoys hunting and has fun doing it. So he continues to, you know, love it like I do, and I get to enjoy it with him the rest of my life. Cause that's the goal. Like, you want to hunt your kids, you want to see your grandkids hunt. Like, that's the end goal. You want people to, you want your kids to enjoy your passion so you can share them with them. So definitely a conversation to be had, but like always, appreciate you guys tuning all the way to the end. Hopefully this got your brain stirring a little bit. This was kind of just a kicking, like me and you just hanging out in the shed, cracked a beer, we're talking about some dad shit, you know, uncle shit, like whatever you got going on. I just kind of rambling with you, but like I said, it's something that need to be talked about. And Garrett kind of mentioning it, it's something that I didn't even think about. It's like, and then for days I'm thinking about it, like I got a complex about, like, what do you do, like where do you start? And like I said, you need to have a conversation with the kid first. Then you kind of got to decide how you want to lead it and go from there. But like always, I love you guys. Appreciate you. Patreon guys, great week chat with you this week. Love the camaraderie in there. Appreciate you guys more than you know. You pay to host this show, dudes. So everybody that's in there that's supporting me, I cannot say enough for you guys. You guys know who you are. And like I said, you literally pay for me to host this show so everybody that listens to this can enjoy this content. So I appreciate that more than you know. But like always, try to do the right thing. Try to leave a legacy. Oh, shit, we forgot the weekly challenge. I had this wrote down. So weekly challenge, before I hit you with the thing I always say at the end. Weekly challenge is getting nice outside. We've been doing like a lot of workout, a lot of shit for other people. Do something for your mom, do something for your wife, do something for your kids. This week, I want you to do something for you. Hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever you can do. Maybe you got to wake up early. Maybe you got to stay up late. Maybe you like golfing. Maybe you like working on your car. Maybe you like playing the guitar. Maybe you like jamming in the garage. Maybe you like hunting. Maybe you like fishing. Maybe you like shed hunting. Like, do something that you really like and really embrace it and enjoy it while you're out there. Don't look at your phone. Don't do anything. Just enjoy the moment. Embrace it. You earned it. You know, just enjoy that hour and a half, hour, 2 hours, whatever you can spare. Make it happen this week. Maybe you like running. Maybe you like working out. Maybe you like swimming. Whatever you can do, just do your thing and enjoy doing it. And that's the weekly challenge. All right, now I'm going to end it. Try to leave a legacy. Always do the right thing. Whitetail Legacy is out. Love you. I'll be coming back. I'm going to do a Thursday throwback episode tomorrow. And then I'll be back next Wednesday like I always am. Love you guys. I'm out.
A life that has the stories to back it. A life to be proud of. It's a Winchester life.
Yeah, baby. 6'8 Western. Oh, mule deer, baby. Right there.
Tune in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. In Wild Country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
When you go out there and the fish are where you think they are, any one of these casts could be the bite. It's the most exciting fishing that I know, right here at Hawks Cay.
Oh, that's awesome.
Experience the best saltwater fishing the world has to offer. Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience. Brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts. Every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. The destination for outdoor entertainment.